today liturgically is a very special and unique day. Yesterday and today we've been focusing on the entire body of Christ, and the whole body of Christ is right now is in three conditions. One condition, yesterday we had the church triumphant, so all the saints, right? We celebrated All Saints Day, so everyone who's already made it fully into the throne room of God, in his presence, the beatific vision, seeing God as he is, being one with him in fullness and unity and glory to glory to glory and all those wonderful things. So that was yesterday, so we celebrated All Saints Day, right? Some of you maybe even dressed up like a saint. That's great. And so we've got that, and it's a high solemnity, and normally a holy day of obligation, although because it's right next to Sunday, our bishops don't require it. Anyway, so that's the church triumphant, okay? Then every day you are part of the church militant. The church militant, which means we are at battle. So we are still in the battle of faith. We are still in battle against Satan and demons. We are still in battle to bring more of the kingdom of God to earth. And so we're just referred to as the church militant. So that's all of us while we're still on earth, okay? Now today, so right after All Saints Day, all those that are in heaven that are praying for us, then the next day the church says, but you got to remember the church suffering. And that's those that are in purgatory. So those who are saved by the grace of Christ, but not yet purified to be in the throne room of God. So they're saved. They're on their way to heaven, absolutely. But they still are need purification. And there's pain connected to that. There's joy connected to that. We'll talk about that in a moment. And but we want to pray for them. So all of that is the same body of Christ, right? Those in heaven praying for us. Those in purgatory, we're praying for them. And this beautiful unity that we all have. Because death doesn't separate Christians. Okay, hopefully you know that. Death doesn't separate Christians. We're all still united in the body of Christ. And eventually, all of us will be in heaven, in heavenly glory. So, all right. So, let's see. So, basically what we're talking about here is the four last things. Hopefully, when I say the four last things, you've got some sense of what that is, right? The four last things. And you will only get three of them, okay? The four last things are death, judgment, and then either heaven or hell. Okay? Death, judgment, which will happen to all of us, and then either heaven or hell. Those are the four last things. I got to talk to the OCIA group last week, so this will be a little bit of review for you. Let's just talk about that. Just a few scripture verses from Jesus. He's very clear, certainly, on the reality of hell. Because Jesus came to save us from hell, save us from sin, save us from hell. That's the whole purpose of being a Christian, is that you're saved from your sin, you're receiving sanctifying grace, so that then not only are you united with Christ now, but you, when you die, when your soul steps into eternity, that you're in the graces of God, and so you get to be in the grace of the kingdom of heaven, right? If we don't have that, then we have chosen to be separated from him forever, and God honors that, our choice. So here's just a few verses from Jesus. He says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many, right? So many, many, many don't make it into heaven. It says, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear, in the sense, the good sense, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. All right, so we want to fear the Lord. It says, just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. And then he goes on a little bit more and he says, those who do not believe, those who are not faithful Christ, is throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Okay, he's talking about the fires of hell. Okay, again, Matthew 25, it says, and he will say to those at his left at the end of time, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So again, very clearly, we have two realities. And again, he even says it's better for you to enter life maimed than to, with two hands, go into hell, to the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So all these descriptions of these just awful torments of hell that we don't want to be in. So again, we hear from the New Testament, even Romans here, chapter 2, it says, by your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed verse 2 Thessalonians, those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ shall suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. And it then describes Galatians chapter 5. There's a lot of lists of those who don't make it in. It says, now the works of the flesh are plain: immorality, impurity, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, envy, drunkenness, carousing, on and on and on. Those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And it says in 2 Peter, and God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the ungodly from trial and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. So that's just a few verses. So if you don't believe in hell, you literally are a heretic, okay? And if you don't believe that you deserve hell, you are also a heretic. Now, the good news, though, is that God loves you, and he's made a way to save you, okay? Now, especially little kids, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to scare your parents and your grandparents, because they really deserve it. But if you've been baptized, God can save you, right? That's the love of Jesus. That's what Jesus came to do. It's just like if you were going to walk into a really dangerous situation, and then God says, no, I don't want you to go into that. I don't want you to be separated from me. I'm going to make a way for you to be saved because I love you, right? I actually saw a really interesting video recently. It was there's scenarios where dogs are able to, they kind of either sense something or either God is working through them or they're able to sense something, but they save their owners from some horrible tragedy. And the one that I saw most recently, it was an elevator camera and this old lady with her dog, and they were getting on, and then the dog just was walking in front of her and just stopping her from getting on the elevator. And she's like, no, it's okay, we can go in there. And the dog wouldn't move, and she's like, no, it's okay, we can go in there. And then the elevator doors close, and then the elevator just falls all the way to the bottom and destroys. So it's like, that's what Jesus is like. He's like, don't sin, and don't separate yourself from me. I want to save you. I don't want you to go in the elevator that leads to destruction. He's like, that's the whole point. That's my love and my mercy is to rescue you and to save you from hell. That's the whole gospel, right? So we talk about the love of Jesus, and that's great, but the love of Jesus is serious, and it's a big deal. So again, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. And Mark 16:16, Jesus says after the resurrection, whoever believes in me and is baptized shall be saved, right? But whoever does not believe is already condemned. So again, we've got to have our own personal faith in Jesus, but then also the grace of the sacraments. And especially for the young ones, you know, you're still kind of just figuring out faith a little bit. And so you've already received the sacraments, which is great. So the Lord's already saved you, brought you into his family, his kingdom of mercy. But then as you're growing, it's like, hey, I want to obey the Lord. I want to be in his relation. I want to be in relationship with him. What's called being a state of grace. Again, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, right? Romans 6, and it's by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of our own doing, it's the gift of God, right? This free gift, this grace of God. That's why we, as Catholics, we talk so much about our own personal faith in Jesus, that we say, I need a sinner, and I trust Jesus to be the one to save me, and I obey whatever he revealed. So he also revealed, and hey, unless you're born again of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you eat my flesh and blood, you have no life in you. And, you know, they gave the apostles the ability to forgive sins or to retain sins in confession. He also, you know, had them lay hands and receive confirmation and anointing with oil and lifted up holy matrimony to a sacrament. So that's why if you're married and you're Catholic, you've got to have a sacramental marriage, right? That's the real form. Otherwise, you're not actually married. So you have to have a sacramental marriage. And then priesthood. There's real priesthood, and then there's some people who imitate it in a fake way. Okay, so with that, so again, when we die, and everyone will die, unless Jesus comes back before you die, some people won't. Some people won't die. Jesus will come back while some people are alive. So whenever that is. But most of us, if he doesn't come back in your lifetime, you're going to die. Then you have immediate judgment before the Lord. And we don't know the, because that's outside of time. So whatever that experience is, whether you review your whole life or whether you're, you can imagine whatever that is as however you'd like. But we know for sure it's immediate, and that the Lord in his perfect justice, his perfect fairness, his perfect mercy, he knows you, he knows the graces he's given you, he knows the opportunity he's given you, he knows all the factors of your life and how you've responded. In perfect justice and mercy, he will affirm whatever you had already chosen. So if you've already chosen, I want to be in friendship with God, I want to receive the mercy of Jesus, I want to turn my heart to him, then he knows that, he honors that, and come on in. And if you say, I don't care about God, I want to do all these things that were on that list of people who don't inherit the kingdom, I'd rather be selfish, I'd rather be immoral, I'd rather do things my way, as Frank Sinatra said, then the Lord says, yep, I know. I know that that's your heart, and unfortunately, that's what you get forever. That's a bummer for you. So there's only two endings, right? Heaven or hell. Those are the only two. Okay. Now, so what are we doing today on All Souls Day? What are we talking about praying for the dead for? The church is revealed, Christ is revealed, and I'll read a couple scriptures, that for those in this one option, the heaven option, the good option, okay, the good option up here, that the basic concept is you can die in saving grace. Like you can have your sins forgiven, but there's still something in your soul that's needing purified. There's still something in your heart that's needing purified. There's still something connected to maybe the amount of sins you had committed or something like that, that just there's you're needing to be purified. Okay? That's really the fullness of the teaching of the church. You can get a few more details, but all we know is that there's something to that, and if we need that, that the Lord does that for us in this place called purgatorio, right? This place of purification. So now why would this be? So Revelations 21:27 says nothing unclean shall enter heaven, right? Nothing unclean shall enter heaven. And if there was something unclean in there, then it wouldn't be heaven anymore, right? Now, you and I, God willing, we're saved by Christ, right? Hopefully everyone in here is in a state of grace, or at least, especially our OCI and our CIP, you have the desire to be in a state of grace, right? Which the Lord would honor. If you died tomorrow, we still give you a Catholic burial and, you know, all those things. We pray for you. So, okay. So you're either already in a state of grace or you're desiring to be in a state of grace. But are you perfectly pure? Are you perfectly holy? All day, every day? So the church says, what do we do with that? Or not even the church says, that makes it sound like we made it up. It's what God has revealed to us is that people, they die in the saving grace, so they're saved, but there's still something that, if they're needing purification, that the Lord does that for them. And it's been revealed that we here on the church militant are able to pray for them and offer sacrifices for them and pray for them. Just like I could pray for you right now, right? I could say, hey, I'm going to give up my breakfast, and I'm going to offer that sacrifice, and I'm going to just pray for graces for you in whatever you need, right? We can do that with each other. And remember, we said, it's all one body of Christ, right? We're all united. So even those that are going through purgatory, that are going through purification, we can still pray for them, all right? And we can even offer, sometimes the church, out of her treasury of graces, gives special opportunities which are called indulgences. Now, I know they could be misused, but they're actually real good things, and they're wonderful, right? Now, did you know, there's actually a whole bunch of things, and it's basically, it's like, here's all these good things that the church is saying, hey, you should do all these good things anyway, and there's extra graces connected to them. So, and there's something called the Handbook on Indulgences, which hasn't been updated since 62, so we use the old one. But did you know, listening to a 15-minute sermon, you can offer an indulgence for that? Because it's a good thing, right? And you're receiving grace. So if I preach for 30 minutes, it's better for you. Or something like that, So, but again, reading scripture for either 15 minutes or 30 minutes, you can just say, hey, I'm offering this for the repose of the souls. I mean, there's all kinds of great things, and a lot of things you're already doing. Praying a rosary, right? Pray a rosary in public. Pray a rosary in front of the Stations of the Cross, doing the Stations of the Cross. Divine Mercy Chaplet, lots of great things. Visiting a church. visiting the Blessed Sacrament for 15 minutes. I mean, lots of great things actually have indulgence prayers. And you're just saying, hey, Lord, I'm doing this wonderful thing, connecting. I'm just offering this up for whoever needs it in purgatory. Or you can offer it for specific people. You can say, I'm offering this for grandma. I hope she died in saving grace. I don't know if she's in heaven yet or if she's on her way. So I'm just offering this for her. So that's basically kind of how you live it out, right? Because we don't know. Unless someone's canonized, we don't know. Those are the people we know for sure in heaven. Everyone else, we're like, I don't know. We'll leave them to the mercy of God. And if they need some prayers, I'm going to offer some prayers for them. So that's basically how you live it. And hey, grandma, and if you're already in heaven, pray for me too, okay? So in a private way. All right, so let me just read something from the Old Testament, and then, is my New Testament one not here? Oh, my goodness, you know what? By golly. We have a printer, and it's normally very good, but for whatever reason, lately, it's not printing all of our documents. So it didn't print the best part. Okay, well, I'll give you the second best part. And I'll summarize the original. Okay, so this is from 2 Maccabees. This is Old Testament. So one of the last books, probably the last book of the Old Testament, only about 125 years before Jesus. And we see here, this is Judas Maccabeus, right? So you might, when you hear the New Testament, it's like, well, how come everybody's named Judas, right? Everybody's named Judah, which actually is just the name Judah, right? Judah from the Old Testament. But one of the reasons why so many people were named Judah is because there was this awesome Jewish warrior guy named Judas Maccabeus, who had lived 100 years before, that everyone was like, this guy was super awesome. So lots of people named their kids after him, okay? So, all right, so here it is. Listen to this. And just this biblical example of there's something about praying for the dead and that it's a good thing, okay? So just listen to this. This is chapter 12, verses 40 through 46. And there was a battle, and some of the soldiers were doing bad things, and they all died. And they're finding it out, and they're going to pray for them, okay? So that's just setting this up here. So, all right, 2 Maccabees, chapter 12. Okay, then, under the tunic of every one of the dead, they found sacred tokens to the idols of Jamnia, which the law forbids the Jews to wear. So there's sin, right? And it became clear to all that this was why these men had fallen. So they're punished for their sins. So they all bless the ways of the Lord, the righteous judge, who reveals the things that are hidden. All right, so they're praising God. Lord, you are just. And they turn to prayer, beseeching that the sin which had been committed might be wholly blotted out. So interesting. So they're saying, okay, clearly they died. Clearly they're punished for their sins. But we're just going to pray for them anyway. Like, Lord, have mercy on them. And it says, and the noble Judas, so Judas Maccabeus, exhorted the people to keep themselves free from sin, for they had seen with their own eyes what had happened because of the sin of those who had fallen. So again, he's saying, hey, so don't mess up like these other people messed up. At the same time, then he also took up a collection, man by man, to the amount of 2,000 drachmas of silver. That's a lot. And sent it to Jerusalem to provide for a sin offering. So he sent it to the temple. So they collected a bunch of money and just said, hey, give some money to God as an offering. Now, I'm not taking a second collection or anything today, but this is what they were doing. Send it to the temple. And it says, and then it goes on, it says, in doing this, he acted very well and honorably, taking account of the resurrection. So this is all because they have hope for the resurrection. And it said, and for if we were not expecting that those who had fallen would rise again, it would have been superfluous and foolish to pray for the dead. Verse 45 here. But if he was looking to the splendid reward that is laid up for those who fall asleep in godliness, it was a holy and pious thought. Therefore, he made atonement for the dead that they might be delivered from their sin. Bible. Old Testament, right at the end. So there's something about basically what we might also call the difference between mortal sin and venial sin, right? If you die in mortal sin, willful, unrepentant mortal sin, we go to hell, right? But we might have saving faith in Christ, but we still have, you know, we've got a bunch of venial sins maybe, right? Or attachments to venial sins, you know? And so it's not bad enough to send you to hell, right? You're saved, but there's something that still needs to be purified. And we just pray for them. And it's really just that simple. That you know, we pray, even though they weren't perfect, God, have mercy on them, save them by your grace, and any purification that they need because they weren't perfect, we're going to pray for them. And we don't know how long they're going to need it, so we just keep praying for them and hoping that they'll make it all the way into heaven. Because that's, again, that's the path. They're guaranteed that eventually. But us who are still in the space-time continuum, we just pray because we experience time. So, okay. Does that make sense? All right. Then then Hebrews 12, this is New Testament now. It says, Hebrews 12, so the spirits of the just men made perfect, right? So again, so those who are just, but they're being made perfect. So there's something to that. And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, this is the one that didn't print out. But it's basically Paul, he talks about the man of God, but anybody, men or women of God, and it says that their works are of different materials. So their works are like stone or gold or silver or rock or hay or straw or wood. He said, those are what your works are like. And he says that all those works will be tested by fire, and that the fire will burn up all the not good stuff, right? The straw, the hay, the wood, that's all going to burn up in fire. But what remains, right, the metal, the wood, the stone, the rocks, these good works that you do, right? Like obeying the Lord and all the good things, which you get a reward for. And he says that the person himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So again, there's just something connected to the judgment, connected to getting there, that if you got, hey, a bunch of impure stuff in your life that you haven't worked out yet, the Lord himself will take care of it. He will purify that for you. Now, we talk about the fires of purgatory because what's been revealed to us is that there is a certain amount of pain that's connected to purification, which is why we don't do it on earth, right? If we're overly connected to sugar, why are we overly connected to sugar? Because it hurts to give up sugar. Or whatever your favorite sin is. So the Lord just, so you can either do it here on earth, or the Lord will do it for you afterwards. So, okay. All right. Hopefully that at least gives you a good enough sense that you could explain that to any of your Protestant friends, or you could explain this to any of your Catholic friends who are confused, that think purgatory is some sort of weird third option or some sort of all dogs go to purgatory or whatever. Or you know, sometimes Catholics get weird things. They get it rough. So, again, there's only heaven or hell, and those who are saved, friendship with God, they either go right to heaven, right? Like maybe like someone like St. Therese, or if you receive the anointing of the sick and you get the apostolic pardon, right? Boom, right to heaven. Or those who are in need of purification. And we just don't know who they are, so we pray for them. Does that make sense? You can repeat that. You can remember that for the rest of your life, the clarity. Okay? All right. And I know the confusion becomes, we talk about the fires of hell and we talk about the fires of purgatory, so I get it. I know that's why they get confused, but don't get confused by that. Fires of hell, totally different than what are sometimes referred to as the fires of purgatory. So, okay. All right. Now, one special thing in November, then we'll wrap up. You'll almost get your second indulgence for the homily. There's some handouts back here, but you could look it up online too. Again, these special indulgences and this octave of All Souls, there's some special opportunities. So I'm just going to read this. So you can get a full plenary indulgence for someone if you meet these qualifications again, because it's, you know. So number one is if you go and pray at a cemetery, even for just a simple mental prayer. So sometime between today and the 8th, if you go visit a cemetery and pray for specifically that person, you can, and so that's the thing, you can offer one indulgence per day. That's the thing, like one full indulgence per day. So you can do a bunch of little ones all day long, but one full one, you can do that one per day. So if you go and visit a cemetery, and you could go every single day, that's fine, or you go once, whatever you want, okay? Then also, here you go, already giving you a freebie, on All Souls Day, if you devoutly visit a church and recite an Our Father and a Creed, okay, with the intention of the indulgence, okay? So you can all get one today. All right, then you can have it with the intention to obtain the departed plenary indulgence. Now, you can also apply that for yourself if you want. If you're like, man, I got a lot of sin I'm going to pay off, I'm going to apply that for myself, that's fine. Or you can apply it to a soul in purgatory. You can't apply it to another living person. Okay, but here's the conditions. So you've got to be in a state of grace. You have to have been in sacramental confession and receive Holy Communion with either 20 days before or 20 days after. Okay, so, and then pray for the Pope's intention, just whatever his intentions are, either for the month or for the day. Usually in Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. And then here's the big one, though. And then you have to have the inner disposition of heart to be detached from all sin, even venial sin. Okay? And if we're not fully detached from all sin, then our indulgence becomes a partial indulgence instead of a full indulgence. Okay? Which is still good, but there you go. Okay? And that part, just do your best. Okay? Just be like, Lord, I'm trying not to be attached to any sin. I'm going to offer this from my heart as best I can. Okay? All right. So that's awesome, right? So if you got some loved ones, hey, maybe you can bring them out of pray for them. And then also too, like, it's great to pray for famous people who've died. You know, like I've prayed for, you know, Eddie Van Halen passed away a few years ago, and you know, he was raised Catholic and he had a pretty crazy life, and I'm like, I don't know if anyone else is praying for him. So I pray, you know, so you can also do that for people you that you don't know if you want to. So all right. Love you guys. Hope that's clear. I'm grateful for the saints praying for us. We live a holy life filled with vibrant faith so that we can be saved. And then we also pray for any of those that are on the way to heaven by the mercy of Jesus, because he loves us so much. And we just pray for them in any way that they might need. Okay? Amen.